no justification by law. Now, taken by itself, out of its context, this contradicts James. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now, James has already said that if you have faith, that faith is not justifying faith till it works. Now, Paul is looking at it the same thing from another angle. Works are not acceptable works until they have within them the dynamics of faith. So works alone will not justify, and faith alone will not justify. The just can live by faith anytime, and the faithful can live by works anytime, once you have the proper balance. Part number one, the law and the covenant. The Bible speaks of two covenants, the old covenant, the new covenant. The new covenant is the second covenant, the old covenant is the first. The second covenant is called the everlasting covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, covenant of grace, new covenant, second covenant. Read again Patriarchs and Prophets, page 53, the first few sentences. Like the angels, the dwellers on Eden were placed on probation. They could obey and live, or disobey and die. Patriarchs and Prophets, 370 to 372. The terms of the old covenant were obey and live, disobey and die. The angel Gabriel is under the old covenant. Adam and Eve was under the old covenant. With a built-in ability, they could obey and live. If they disobeyed, they'd die. The angels that disobeyed, cast out, they would one day die. Adam and Eve disobeyed, they have long been dead. When man fell, the new covenant came into operation. By the new covenant, Jesus Christ took the place of man, died in his place, gave him grace, gave him a new way, gave him the Holy Spirit, a second chance, an opportunity to make good. At the time of the Exodus, God set his principles before his emancipated people. He made a covenant with them. They said, all that the Lord had said, we will do and be obedient. And so he told Moses to go through with this covenant, kill a sacrifice, sprinkle the book upon which it was written, and the people. And then he invited Moses to climb up into the mount and be with him sometime. Within a few weeks, Israel had repudiated the covenant, worshipped a calf of gold, and gone into apostasy. This covenant that the Lord made with them was the old covenant. And he did it to teach them that they could not do his will. Read carefully Patriarchs and Prophets 370 to 372. They did not know the sinfulness of sin. They did not know their weaknesses. They did not know their need of grace. They only knew their own cocksure determination to do it. But they fell. And so, as part two indicates, God made a new covenant with them. The conditions of the two covenants is exactly the same. You've got to obey in order to live. You've got to keep the eternal, unchangeable, perfect, good, and proper law. A delineation of the implications of loving. Both covenants are that. But now in the new covenant, in place of man's protestations, Christ gave his word. In place of man's effort, Christ says, I'll do it. If you'll only let me come inside you, inside your mind, if you'll only consent, I will so blend my power, my grace, my spirit with your thinking, with your will that you've surrendered to me. I will so help you that when you are carrying out your own impulses, you will be doing my will. This is identification and sanctification. And all those who come to Jesus Christ with this kind of surrender enter the new covenant. Christ has died for them. Christ has cleansed them. Christ has taken away the penalty and given them a second chance. He's given them the Spirit. He's opened to their minds a new vista of possibility. He is ready to infuse them with His grace and power and presence if they will yield and accept. Part number 3. The Old and the New Covenants compared. Both of them have the condition obey and live, disobey and die. The Old Covenant, made with unfallen worlds and Adam and Eve, necessitated a built-in ability to obey. The angel Gabriel has no problem with the Old Covenant. He still has the built-in ability to obey, and he still obeys. But as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the ability to obey. They could no longer do it themselves. They were weak. They were overcome. They were defeated by Satan. Now they needed grace. They needed an element outside themselves, the power of God that would make them adequate. And this Jesus Christ gave. So the Old Covenant can be carried out by a built-in ability to obey. It could not be carried out by Israel, and it cannot be carried out by any one of us because we don't have that built-in ability to obey. The New Covenant has a graced-in ability to obey, infused by the Holy Spirit, a power from above that will so come into our open hearts and our ready minds to strengthen our wills that we yield, that we will be able to carry through. So as you compare and contrast the two covenants, the main ingredient of the New Covenant is grace that is given to empower us, that provides a second chance, that takes care of all our failures, and that strengthens us day by day. Part number 4. No salvation by deeds of the law. Now if you come to a man who is lost, as all men are, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and tell him now, if you keep the law, you will be saved. This is a lie. If he kept the law for 1,000,000 years, he could never be saved because of what he did yesterday. He broke the law yesterday. He's a sinner. The wages of sin is death. So for somebody who has sinned, all the keeping of the law forever and ever will never do anything for the past. We need Jesus Christ to take care of the sins of the past. Romans 3:21, verses around there. Once Jesus Christ has taken care of the sins of the past, through the New Covenant, He gives us a new chance, an opportunity to start again. He regards us as though we had never sinned. And He says, I will help you. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified. He's doomed. But once he is justified, once he accepts Jesus Christ, once he confesses all his sins and demonstrates that he's on God's side, then immediately, what he does for God validates his talk about doing it. And a man is justified by works, as Abraham was. God's law must be placed in man's heart, that's the New Testament, in his mind, in his will. And this will is the determining factor as to the relationship of man to God. Part number 5, salvation by faith alone. Now I would have to put, as I did in my quarterly, no by the side of this, because of what James 2:24 says. Not faith alone. Don't use this word alone anywhere. We are not saved by faith alone. We are not saved by works alone. We are not saved by grace alone. It's non-biblical term. It's a Lutheran gimmick, a propaganda evangelistic device to call away from Tetzel's works. And it's misleading. It's misleading today. Salvation is not by faith alone. James 2:24. But salvation is by faith. I'm not denying that. Without faith, you'll never be saved. But if you only stop at faith, you never will be saved either. And so as we think of this lesson, no justification by law, we could make it just as clear, no justification by faith. But when you add the two together, then there is justification by faith that works. Focus of the week. How conversion works. It works by a cumulative action of all the divine means. It's not sola fide, it's not sola gratia, it's not sola scriptura, it's not sola erga. Leave out the word sola. Paul says in Romans 6, obey from the heart by divine grace, that form of doctrine, that total teaching that makes a perfect balance in Christ Jesus of all the things that He has given. And if we live that kind of life, then justification will be the prelude of a life of sanctification that will be the gateway into eternal glorification.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.